Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Out today, he's on vacation battling weather Twitter. And in is John Harris from, obviously, the Texans.
Weather Twitter.
we'll get into that later because for those of you that didn't see or weren't watching, or maybe you're hanging out with your family instead of watching football yesterday, the Bills game was interesting. The Bills game, which came down to the wire and was a really, really good finish yet again with the Bills. They're making a habit of this so far. KHOU cut away from it for 17 minutes to give a tornado alert.
to say the same thing on the tornado alert.
Yeah.
Like over and over and over again and didn't split screen it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Sean was battling people because people were saying, well, you know, it's FCC regulations and you're saving lives. And I think most sane, rational people were saying, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, but you can split the screen or you could do it for just a certain amount of time and then not the entire time.
It's a pretty simple concept. I mean, people started, you know, doing screen caps of, well, this is what other people have. This is what other people have done. This is what you could have done. I mean, thankfully for Twitter, I saw the Josh Allen throw and the field goal. But yeah. I was like, it was one of those things where I'm like, I know what you're doing. And I have other ways to, I have other ways. But like there's NFL.
Like you're an
NFL,
industry insider.
Yeah. I have other ways, which I do. I mean, I could get to all 22 if I wanted, but. You could go to NFL Plus if you have NFL Plus. You can just watch the condensed copy of the game later. So I'm like, I wasn't losing it, but I'm like, I would have liked to have known, especially because I advised a good friend of mine on what he should do with that game. And here's the thing. I advised him at the beginning of the year to take the Bills over whatever the Bills season over total was.
Oh, yeah.
I told him to take the over.
Uh-huh.
And then I told him to take the points in the Lions. So we got both. We got the Bills win, which we needed. And I say we, it's money, but we got the Bills, you know, season total win, but we also got the Lions cover. So it was like it was a double whammy win. And I didn't even get to experience the excitement of that. That's the frustrating part.
You know, yesterday's game with the Bills, it was, it's this weird situation the Bills are in where Josh Allen is just not himself.
Yeah.
And yet, they keep winning games. They're not winning them as decisively as, you know, you would think one of the best teams in the league would, because Josh Allen just doesn't have the same thing working with his arm.
Yeah.
But they keep winning. They're still the second highest scoring offense in football right now. It feels like as long as they could just get everybody healthy, they'd be okay, because it's not just Josh Allen's injury. But Josh Allen's elbow isn't something that would just miraculously cure with 10 days of rest, would it?
I mean, and they don't even get 10 days of rest because they got to play on Thursday. Against the
Patriots.
They're
playing.
So they don't even get 10 days of rest.
Yeah.
They get just another, it's just another full-on week. Now they'll get the 10 days of rest after the Patriots game, because I think that goes to a Sunday after that. I haven't checked that. But Tony made mention of that a few times. But I've thought about it, you know, over the years about just throwing. Everybody's talked about, you know, baseball, football, you know, that's it's an unnatural throwing motion and just the stress. And I thought Tony did a good job of explaining, like, because Josh throws with so many different arm angles, the stress that puts, you know, on his elbow. Then I would have liked to have seen it live, because I had told you how many seconds. It was like 20 seconds. he throws that 40-yard laser over the middle.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, in between like three different lines, and he gets to Stephon Diggs absolutely on time. I mean, it's a rocket shot, and you're like, one guy in the NFL can do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe two. Maybe Mahomes could do that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's where, that's it. Like his ability to tame that arm strength that he had in college that looked like it was remember he would throw he was throwing to you know the bucket drill where you throw the fade into the garbage bucket in the corner. Like it was like he was throwing to one of those big pass rushing hula hoops they use. Like an 8-foot diameter hoop that's laid on the ground when he was a rookie and in his second year, and then he figured it out.
So at the Senior Bowl, I'll never forget this. At the Senior Bowl, he was on the same team as Baker Mayfield. And that was the year that the Texans coaching staff was there. So because of that, I had sideline access. I had the cool all access badge. So I got there early for the morning practice, and I think it was the Bengals. And they were working, and you've seen that net that's got the three different squares, kind of the diagonal squares.
Yeah.
So it's day one, and Baker's just dotting it. And Seth, he's 15 yards away, and Josh Allen is airmailing it.
Really?
Like, he's not even hitting the net. He's like 3 yards over it. He'd hit the bottom metal bar.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow. But the one thing that I kind of hung my hat on with Josh Allen was they did that drill for the next 2-3 days.
Right.
And by day three, he was dotting it just like Baker. And I thought,
no kidding.
This is something. There's something with that.
Yeah.
And I saw the improvement. I thought, okay, if he improves like that in a short amount of time, I think you give him a couple of years, this guy could be something. But still, I think everybody missed. And I think what is frustrating is the Josh Allen situation, which is extremely rare. It's the one thing everybody can point to about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. Like, those guys are hella talented. Will Levis at Kentucky and Anthony Richardson at Florida. They're hella talented. Size, arm strength, toughness. Mm-hmm. But, man, they can't hit the broadside of a barn most games.
Yeah.
But everybody's going, but Josh Allen.
That's where I wonder. It's interesting that you brought up baseball and talking about that, because it used to be in football, you know, one of the old maxims was, well, quarterbacks just don't improve accuracy. They if they're not accurate in college, they're not going to be accurate in the NFL. In baseball forever, they look at prospects and they say, just throw it as hard as you can. Let me watch you. Not just pitchers. Throw it to first base if you're a shortstop. Throw it to first base as hard as you can. We're not going to worry about it, because they figure they can tame the accuracy a little bit. And football's starting to move in that direction, isn't it? Where because of all the extra technology they have to analyze this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are a lot more quarterbacks now that are working with quarterback coaches full time.
Yeah.
And because they're working with those guys full time, you know, those full time quarterback coaches are looking at, you know, every single biometric thing that they can do. But at some point, you know, guys got to just, you know, grip it and rip it and let it go. And I think Josh had that. I think a quarterback has to have that spirit in him too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Doom Patrol, except it's not a negative spirit. It's a passing spirit. And you've got to have that to say, I'm going to make this throw. I'm going to make this throw. I know I can make this throw. I'm going to make this throw and then go ahead and do it. And Josh Allen has found that. Mahomes has found that. And a few other quarterbacks I know haven't found that. So
what's Doom Patrol?
Oh, Doom. My son got me into this. Holy cow. My son has gotten me into like these. It's DC.
Okay.
And
DC has gotten, like, DC used to have
DC's
a reputation
Batman,
as the lesser,
Superman.
The lesser one, but now they're, like, getting a little bit better.
I don't know. I mean, it's...
We can't get into that kind
of thing. It's like DC Marvel stuff. But anyways, you know, on Doom Patrol, there, you know, Larry Traynor, if you watch it, he's got this spirit in him. They call him the negative spirit, because when he comes out of Larry to go do his thing, Larry passes out and essentially dies until the spirit comes back to him. So it's kind of that. As a quarterback, you kind of have to have that spirit in you to be able to tell you, like, yeah, I can make this throw. You can make this throw. But there are only a few quarterbacks that end up like that throw of Josh Allen yesterday.
So now I got to watch Doom Patrol.
Okay. Nah, I don't know about that. But
well, no, just it's a good analogy. I like that. I got to get this negative spirit thing working.
Yeah, get the negative spirit thing. That's
like John McClane on Twitter during a game. Or he just becomes a completely different person. He goes Doom Patrol on that.
Yes, that's very true. It's so, like after the game, the spirit leaves him so he can be John, but then the negative spirit goes, and it's really like, nincompoop.
Because he'll say things. He'll actually say like, well, I don't insult players or anything because that's not above board. But then he's talking about his writing and when he's on radio. I think when he goes social media, he assaults the fields and torches the village, and he does everything.
Yeah, pathetic. Texans have minus 3 yards in the first quarter. Pathetic. I mean, he's just channeling what everybody else is. He's channeling the negative spirit that everybody else is feeling at that point.
Hey, coming up next, we do have a quarterback situation here in Houston with conflicting reports between media members, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator. We'll sort it all out for you. What exactly is going on with Davis Mills coming up next?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
John Pendergast is out on vacation. I've got John Harris from the Houston Texans and, of course, FootballTakeover.com. If you find yourself wanting to start getting ready to look at quarterbacks, for instance, FootballTakeover.com is a great place to do that. And Wednesday was a weird day, John, because we had conflicting reports where Mike Garofalo had reported, amongst others, that Davis Mills would be benched. And then in the press conference, Lovie Smith was asked about it about 5 different times. This was the first time he addressed the situation on Wednesday.
Guys, announcement, just so we kind of establish things here. I do not announce who's starting through the week. We have a starting lineup, the last one that we have. And when it changes, we'll let you know. But during the week, of course, we're not going to announce any things like that. I think that would give the opponent an advantage. So our starting lineup, as far as you're concerned, I would have said the same thing 3 weeks ago. It's the same one until told otherwise.
So, John, this is where I think for the most part, I think most thinking Americans that have been following the Texans would look at, okay, there's a way you go about, you know, endorsing support for your quarterback, which Lovie Smith has done a lot, and just flat out say, no, he's our quarterback. So you kind of do the math in your head, and between the reports that they are, that they are switching quarterbacks. And then for what we'll play Mike Garofalo here right now, because Mike Garofalo, speaking to Ian Rapoport, doubled down on his assertion on Wednesday.
Lovie Smith is going to make a change. Now, he wouldn't say it to the media today in his press conference, but sources tell me, and also you and Tom, you guys were on it too. I'll give you a piece of the credit here, that Kyle Allen will make the start for the Texans against the Miami Dolphins. Davis Mills, who had so many high hopes surrounding him coming into the season, just hasn't delivered. So it will be Allen. I got a bunch of people saying, who on my tweet? How about a guy that threw for 3,300 yards a couple of years ago and is 7-10 in his career? Yeah, Kyle Allen back as a starting quarterback for Houston.
Okay, so the way they're talking about it, we can all assume Kyle Allen's going to be starting, right, on Sunday? Should I assume?
Well, we can assume up until – hold on. Let me check the availability. Availability, I think, today is at 12:15 because that's when the quarterback is going to speak. So because it's a Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
So a normal week – I say normal. I don't know what's normal anymore. But a normal week, quarterback would speak Wednesday. At least that's what –
Davis would speak
on Wednesday, or the quarterback would speak on Wednesday. That was just, I think that's been normal course of action. But because it was a holiday week, the coordinators went up and spoke on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it was Lovie, then it was Frank, then it was Pep. And so at that point, Omar came in and said, quarterback will speak on Friday. So we'll know on Friday, it's like, who's behind door number one? Now, here's, and I've heard a lot of it, and I'll say this. I love Lovie to death. I absolutely think he's great. Here's the one contention I have, and this kind of goes back, because I've been in the building for a while. This goes back to my thing about O'Brien too. I think this happens to a lot of coaches, and it's not just Lovie. But I can't tell you the number of times I get a text, I get a look in the hallway after I did Telestrator or after I wrote something.
Yeah.
Johnny, you can't say that. That's going to give them a competitive advantage. There was actually one time that I was actually told in the heat of a rant.
Yeah.
And when I mean heat, I mean heat. That essentially something that I did on Telestrator was showing exactly what the Texans do, and that Doug Marrone and Mike Vrabel had called that week and said that I figured out and now they know. I'm like, okay, are you that dumb, or seriously?
Well, do you assume other people are that dumb? I guess. I go through the same thing, John. Like I try to put things through a filter, because there's times where I know, like, I can tell that an offensive lineman has a tell or something,
right?
And I don't like to say it if it's not something that's obvious and that I figure another team knows. Well, there was a time when the Steelers played the Texans a few years ago. Every single time the Steelers blitzed, it was versus a run. Like, it was every – and the blitzing – the blitzer,
yeah,
it was a DB blitz, did not look at the quarterback one iota.
Right.
So, like, it was obvious they had a tell. You know, like, those kinds of things. You put that up, and it's like, yeah, people know it and see it. So, I think that – so, right now, this is – Lovie Smith, as he said multiple times, is saying, well, it's a competitive advantage not to tell the other team. Does this just fall into the category of, okay, you're doing it because that's your theory or philosophy, but it's kind of absurd, like all the different ways you have to weave the tail now to follow that competitive philosophy?
In some sense, here's my point with all that. First of all, competitive advantage if you've got Davis Mills and Michael Vick,
yeah,
where they're two totally different quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Where you might do different things with Michael Vick than you would do with Davis Mills. That, to me, now that's a different situation, because you can spring that on a team that might not be ready for it. Like, oh, you know, Davis might be doing this and he's the established starter, but man, they've got, you know, let's just use a more up-to-date version, a Malik Willis, for example.
Right.
You're going to do different things with Malik Willis. So I can understand the Titans kind of playing coy a little bit, even though the Titans are going to do what they do.
Yeah.
The Texans, Davis Mills and Kyle Allen, there's not that much different between the two. It's not like you're going to start running zone read and a bunch of power read RPOs and all this kind of stuff with Davis. That's the thing that gets me. The Texans aren't going to change significantly enough where the Dolphins are like, whoa, this is different. That to me is the difference. Like I said, if you had a completely different style quarterback as your backup, like last year with Tyrod and Davis, it made sense to maybe play coy a little bit more with that, because they're different guys. You're probably going to do some different things with Tyrod than you're going to do with Davis. I don't think you'll do a ton more than you'll see with Davis and Kyle Allen. Is it going to be the same old thing? No, there might be a few things that Kyle does a little bit better, a few more pass routes that Kyle likes that's better than Davis, but they're not significantly different as quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So that's the point to me where I feel like, okay, I mean, I get it. And this is the other thing too. Lovie's got a philosophy. He's sticking to it, whether you like it or not. That's just, and I can, as a coach, I can absolutely 1,000% give him a stamp of approval on that. Having been a coach, I agree. That's your philosophy. Don't change it. Stick with it. On the flip side, I'm also out there on the side of everybody else in some sense saying it's not that much different. And plus, it's going to be announced on Friday, and there's 48 hours from Friday to Sunday. And we've seen a lot of coaches in 48 hours be able to change course if needed. But I don't think the Dolphins really have to change course all that much. It's not like they're going to be traveling down, you know, 59, or I guess it's now 69, and then all of a sudden they're going to have to U-turn and go completely the other direction. It's just they're going to stay on 69 until they have to make one small exit and park. It's the same trip, really. It's just maybe there's one little pit stop they got to make that's a little different. So from that perspective, the competitive advantage part, I mean, I get it and I don't, kind of all at the same time. Yeah. If that makes sense.
I've actually enjoyed this version of a more cantankerous Lovie Smith, because like, he does it in a different way than Bill O'Brien. It's more of a frustration, I think, and it also feels a little bit like it's your grandfather talking down to you, which gives me mixed feelings too. I don't know whether to be ashamed of myself or angry at him and rage against the machine.
It's interesting you bring that up, and I thought back to the times that Bill was cantankerous with the media and, you know, this with Lovie. And I felt like, you know, with Lovie, it's taken 3, 4, maybe even 5 questions to kind of say, look, and I think what he's trying to say, and really it's not being received well, I guess. Is that the right way of saying it? It's not being received that I ain't talking about it.
Yeah.
So you can ask it 4 or 5 times, and by the 4th time, it's like, guys, I told you the first 3. By question 2, Bill O'Brien would have gone to a whole different level of teapot. Mm-hmm. I just told you I'm not talking. That would have ended it. So they both have sort of done it that way. But I think with Lovie, he's given the latitude of, all right, you asked your question.
Yeah.
Here's what I have to say about it.
Yeah.
But when people are trying to ask other ways around that question, I think that's what's been frustrating. I love Sean Bajani. I love Bajani. Oh, yeah. I think Bajani's fantastic.
Yeah.
I really do. He's tried to ask that question in so many different and unique ways. It's like he sits there and goes, okay, he's heard the first 3.
Yeah.
And now he's got, okay, how can I ask this a different way? And Lovie has sniffed it out. But I love the fact that he's come up with different ways of asking that question to try and get maybe a different answer. It says something different. But listen, the media, they got to do their job, and Lovie's got his job to do. So everybody does their job, and we'll see where it ends up, I guess.
It's interesting seeing different coaches' strategy, because you're right. Bill O'Brien was outright rage. Bill Belichick will just go completely, you know, dumb and mute on the whole topic and just give a one-word curt answer. And Lovie gives somewhere in between. He tries to show disgust more than anything. Hey, you guys can join the drive with Sterner and Hughley at Social Beer Garden in Midtown for Miller Lite Football Friday this Friday. That's today from 2 to 6. You can hang out with the guys, have some great food and cold drinks, and get ready for Sunday's game in Miami on a Miller Lite Football Friday. That's the Social Beer Garden in Midtown, 2 to 6 today. Look, this Sunday, it's Laramie Tunsil, who's a new man. He's a team leader now versus all the guys the Dolphins got from the Laramie Tunsil trade on Sunday. What to expect from the Dolphins, what to expect from Kyle Allen. That's coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
John is on vacation today, so I have John Harris from the Houston Texans and the FootballTakeover.com. If you're looking to get ready for the draft, here with us. And John, the Laremy Tunsil trade, day which will go down in, I don't know, relative infamy. Yeah. It was a lot to spend on an offensive tackle, but now all of a sudden I feel like Laremy's one of my favorite Texans. And yet, you look at the state of the Texans after trading away all those picks to Miami, and you see Miami having picked up, including they packaged those picks to end up trading for Jaylen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb. Like those are
not bad.
Three pretty good players that they also, aside from those picks that they used in the Laremy Tunsil trade, they used four total first round picks, including the two from the Laremy Tunsil trade, a second, four fours, a sixth, and Chase Edmonds for those three players. They've given up quite a bit.
Which they used Chase Edmonds. Let's see. Well, they used Chase Edmonds. They traded Chase Edmonds somewhere. Well, they traded Chase Edmonds, and that opened up the opportunity for them to trade for Jeff Wilson.
Yeah.
And Wilson had played for Mike McDaniel in San Francisco. So now you've got Jeff Wilson, who ran for over 100 yards against the Browns the last time we saw the Dolphins. Ugh.
And Jeff Wilson, like, that's a big, we'll talk about Jeff Wilson on Sunday in the pregame.
Yep.
Jeff Wilson's looking really good in that offense. I mean, this offense has turned into, they can attack you in multiple different areas.
Yep.
Like Waddle and Tyreek Hill are the engine that drives everything, but Tua's turned into a guy that can attack you and kill you in multiple different ways. He can take advantage of what those guys provide.
And McDaniel's run game, the influence from Kyle Shanahan is really interesting to me because they're early on, the Browns come down and score, make it 7-0. The Dolphins get the ball, and they come out in 20 personnel. So two running backs and no tight end. So they've got two running backs. They got a fullback next to Tua, and they got Jeff Wilson. So there's no Tyreek, and there's no Jaylen on the field. It's Sherfield and somebody else and somebody else. It's not them. So there's no tight end on the field. Maybe it's Gesicki, and he was out wide as a receiver. So once he's out wide, he's a receiver to me. He's a receiver anyways. And so you look at it and go, there's no Tyreek, there's no Jaylen. Could they run the ball? Well, they're spread wide, so maybe. But they're spread out so much that the Dolphins run a wham trap out of two-back shotgun, which if you follow football at all, the wham basically is, you're taking a tight end, whamming on a nose tackle, which I know you probably were whammed on by tight ends, coming across and whamming you, but they combine that with another trap block, and so it's actually called crunch. Anyways, point being, they open up this gaping hole
Yeah.
And it's a 15-yard run or so, and I'm like, well, how do you stop that? What do you do with that? I mean, Tyreek and Jalen are off the field. You got to think the run game's in play, and yet they knew a run was coming. And they still gave up 12 yards in a massive hole, and Jeff Wilson just hit it. It's just the things that Mike McDaniel does offensively make it really, really tough, whether Jalen and Tyreek are on the field or not.
Yeah,
that's
scary. Those are the kinds of plays, too, especially when it was Roy Lopez and Kurt Heinisch in there a lot. Defensive tackles and a defense that try to get upfield really quickly are susceptible to that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So they there are some things the Texans do that the young guys are susceptible to. There's some things that the Dolphins do that the Texans would be susceptible to because of that element.
Yes, and can I ask you this?
Yeah.
You played the position. Tony Romo said this about Aaron Glenn. He said this yesterday on Thanksgiving game, and I thought this was really interesting. He said the Lions defense had been struggling a lot early.
Yeah.
And he said they were doing a lot of one gapping. They were doing a lot of one gap defense, a lot of getting upfield, that sort of thing. And he said they sort of had a come to Jesus moment at some point. Defense wasn't doing well. And he said they decided to do more two gapping, and that's made all the difference in that defense in the world.
Yeah.
You understand that more than anybody. Can you see where that would help a defense, where you go from a one gap up the field penetrating defense to all of a sudden you become a two gap kind of set the wall sort of defense? How difficult is that? And B, do you buy that can be a change for a team?
I think it can be a change. I think sometimes people use the term two gap a little too liberally because it's like usually it's not like two gapping means a defensive lineman stands up an offensive lineman and he's responsible for the gap to his left and the gap to his right. And I don't think that happens as often as it's more gap control, where you're supposed to lock the guy out, and you're responsible for your gap, but also squeeze the other gap and make it easier for the linebacker. So, you know, whether it's true two-gapping or not, I think it can help in the run game depending on what your, like, the strengths of your defense are. So, like, if I look at Kurt Heinisch and Roy Lopez, too, I don't think those guys are athletic enough to ultimately be like really good in a Lovie Smith style scheme. They're not Ed Oliver, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you watch Ed Oliver, who's in a similar scheme yesterday.
Right.
He was wrecking shop.
Yep.
So I think that like with the Texans, there might be times where it'd be better for those guys to be more anchoring down and giving the linebackers a better picture for what to look at, especially versus. Like, okay, so the Texans are playing a defense where those defensive linemen are supposed to be trying to get upfield real fast.
Yeah.
When it gets to certain plays like zone run plays, in a defense like that, what you're hoping is that one of your defensive linemen beats the snot out of an offensive lineman so bad that it just cuts the play in half.
Right.
And then linebackers can just see like, oh, okay, I don't care who's in what gap. I can see the running back has to cut back because Malik Collins is so far upfield.
Right.
So I think there's times where if your defense can't do that, it really ends up hurting you. So I think maybe playing a little bit more conservatively helped. Because I know that with the Lions, they got a little bit more conservative in their coverage, too.
Yeah, exactly. And then they started marrying the two together. So I'll ask you this.
You know, well, real quick, since you were talking about Tony, talking about Aaron Glenn. When Tony was talking about Aaron Glenn and some of the pick sixes he's had and as a player, I thought of when we played the Dolphins in 2003.
Yeah.
We went into that game in Miami like extreme underdogs. I want to say we were like 15-point underdogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We ended up winning the game, and one of the things we did was we just played a ton of man coverage. Gary Walker had been hurt, so we were undermanned in a lot of places. And so Marcus Coleman and Aaron Glenn were in man all day long.
Wow.
I remember on the flight home, and we won the game. We upset the Dolphins. On the flight home, Aaron and Marcus always sat in the very last row on the left as you're walking towards the back of the plane.
Yeah.
And I looked back about like 45 minutes into the flight, and those two were just conked out. just out cold.
Yeah.
Everybody else was standing around having a good time. It was a big upset and everything. Capers had given us Monday off, and those two just could not be budged. They were,
I can imagine like down in Miami. It's going to be in the low 80s apparently in Miami too.
Oh, yeah, and it was hot. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I imagine it was just – flaming hot. I mean, I think about that Bills game that was in week three. They were talking about that. We're talking about defensive linemen along those lines. So, Georgia's got a defensive lineman by the name of Jalen Carter. And I don't know how much if you had a chance to see him play, Seth.
I watch highlights this time of year and get excited about everybody.
So, let me ask you this. So I'll just ask this.
Yeah.
How would Jeffrey Simmons, because that's somebody that we all know that we've all watched, and I know you definitely have watched Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
How would Jeffrey Simmons fare in this Lovie Smith defense? And I'm asking this, it's kind of a loaded question because Jeffrey Simmons is my comp essentially for Jalen Carter.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm trying to think about, all right, what if you had a guy like Jeffrey Simmons? How does that change things, or how would things change on your defensive front with a guy like that?
Well, that's the thing, because Jeffrey Simmons or so many of these guys that Kenyon Green have faced over the last few games. Even if they're not classic, you know, I hate to always go to Warren Sapp as the example of the type of athlete, because obviously, like, there's not that many guys there.
Right.
I do think that they're more hybrid guys now, where, like, because you don't think of Jeffrey Simmons necessarily as the fastest at getting upfield, do you? Or is it?
No.
Is it that? Yeah, like, he manhandles people.
He does, but he's got. Yeah. But to your point. He's got a level of twitch and quickness that's really can be a problem, too.
Yeah, I don't – okay, so I would say any of those guys, including Jeffrey Simmons, I think they could play in any type of defense. Yeah. But especially in something like this, I don't get too down on Lovie Smith's style of defense just because there are successful defenses
right.
that, including the Bills right now.
Right.
If you – yeah, I think if you had guys like Jeffrey Simmons – It would certainly be different versus the run. And it's not the same as, you know, soaking up double teams or anything necessarily. It's just that you're completely dominating guys and getting into the backfield quickly so that versus the run or the pass, you end up being a lot better. Yeah, I think that one guy, like Jeffrey Simmons, I could say that he could almost single-handedly elevate the Texans at least up into the 20s in the run game. They've got other issues they'd have to take care of, but he could change things a lot for a lot of those guys. I think he'd make the linebackers better immediately.
I bring that up because I want Heinisch and Booker and Roy and Malik. I want those guys to play at a very high level. But I think it was very clear the last four games when you looked across and went, we don't have that.
Yeah,
and it's Simmons, it's Cox, it's Javon Hargrave, it's last week Jonathan Allen. I mean, my God, Jonathan Allen. I mean, he's just, you want to talk about sap?
Yeah,
that's sap. I mean, my God. But you brought up Kenyon Green. I'm glad you did. I've brought this up a few times because I know people are starting to sour on Kenyon Green and all that kind of stuff in some sense. And I've brought up Dwayne Brown, and. Yeah. For me to bring up Dwayne Brown, for people that don't know, back in 2008 when I was at another radio station, when Dwayne was drafted, I lost my absolute bleep because I did not think at that time that Dwayne was worthy of a first-round pick. I had him rated as a third-round pick. I didn't like it. I voiced my opinion on it. I voiced it very strongly. And then when Dwayne struggled in 2008, I was like, see, told ya. But what I missed about Dwayne was highly athletic. He was extremely competitive. And he was going to work at it every single day. But in 2008, Dwayne Brown was going against James Harrison, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis, and there were plenty of others he was having to see as a rookie. And he was getting it handed to him to a point where the Texans eventually rotated him with Ephraim Salaam. Mm-hmm. And I was the loudest one to say, hey, this was a dumb pick. Look at this. They're having to rotate him. Ha, ha, ha. Look what happened. Well, by the end of next year, Dwayne was turning into Dwayne. And by 2010, he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. And all of a sudden, I'm going, huh, maybe you missed, John. Maybe you were an idiot. Yeah, and I was. I was an idiot. And I see Kenyon, and I've been a big supporter of Kenyon all along. But I think to say, oh, he's the wrong pick, look at who he just faced. It's very, very similar to Dwayne. And I think Kenyon has the same sort of attributes that Dwayne does. He's very athletic for his size. I do think he's got to do some work in the offseason to get his body back together. I think he was banged up in training camp, and I don't know that that's ever really gotten a chance to be fixed completely.
Yeah.
So I think given the offseason, get his body in the right shape, what he needs to, I think he's going to come back, have some different techniques to use, and I think he's going to be a different player in 2023. But he's getting his comeuppance now. He's learning now, hey, this is what it takes. But I think like Dwayne, he's a guy that give him time, give him an opportunity, and see what he's going to be down the road. And I think logical Texans fans see that. But the ones that just want to throw everything onto the pile of all the bad going on, and Kenyon Green's a bad draft pick, and he went throwing a pile. I'm like, whoa, chill. Just relax. Because I can tell you from experience, I was that guy throwing, you know, Dwayne Brown on the top of the bad things going on with the Texans, and it turned around and Dwayne became the lineman that Rick Smith thought he was going to be, and yeah. He turned into that guy.
I think, like, in my experience as a rookie, it was always really good to go against somebody like, as a rookie and a second-year player, I get to go against Dermoni Dawson, who's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mark Stepnoski, who was, like, way – he's an incredibly undersized center and yet the hardest guy in the world to play against because he was so fast.
Right.
And you would go against guys like that, and then all of a sudden the next week you'd go against a normal player, and it would feel like in a video game when, you know, like when you master level 3 of right. Mario or something, and it feels slow. Like right. That's what it would feel like. It would feel like the video game slowed down for me after you go against those guys.
Right.
But I feel like with Kenyon, he's had this 4-week stretch where he's had no time. He's fighting Mike Tyson in Punch-Out for the first time.
Right.
And he hasn't picked up on that little wink that Mike Tyson used to give before he jabbed in Punch-Out. And it was just, so he hasn't had any time to kind of sit back and use what he's learned. He just keeps right. getting body blow after body blow. So I can very much see where he's still adjusting to he's adjusting to his strength not being as strong in the NFL as it was in college.
Right.
I think there's times where he's trying to jump out and snatch guys and grab guys, and he's realizing, like, oh, I can't do this versus Jeffrey Simmons because he's too fast and too strong. If I'm right. going to do it, I got to really tighten up my technique and use the angles a lot better. But the plus plays versus lesser players also still look like a guy that could be physically dominating at some point. So it really, I think it's really up to Kenyon Green this offseason, just how much he really figures out and understands where he was getting upended and how he's gonna get better. I feel like, kind of like we've heard people talk about with quarterback, well, Robert Saleh talked about it with Zach Wilson, that he needs a reset.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Kenyon perhaps maybe needs a little bit of a reset. Maybe over the next several games when he faces not as bad a gauntlet of players, he'll figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. That's exactly, you know, what I've thought. It's funny because it hit me during the game as he was going against all those players. Because I remember in 2008, after Dwayne was drafted, it was like, well, we'll see what he's made of because he's got to face James Harris. I mean, the gauntlet that he had to face to start the 08 season. And, of course, then Hurricane Ike hit, and you got 15 games in a row.
Yeah.
On a bye week that you didn't really get a bye week. And so he's just going from Freeney, of course, Freeney and Mathis in the same game. You know, he had Harrison week one, then he's got to face Freeney and Mathis. And it's like, my God, they were just one after the other. And that was kind of, that's what got me thinking about it. I was like, hey, wait a second. I think there's a comparison and a corollary here for Kenyon Green. And the one other thing I'll say about Kenyon, there have been times when guys after a game are like, I don't want to talk. There have also been times when guys, you know, spoke with a sideline reporter and they didn't like the gift that they got after the game when they talked to a sideline reporter.
Yes.
But Kenyon Green, when I walked in the locker room after I had talked to Love the other day, he had the media around him, sat there and answered every question, and, you know, just took it. I mean, and he's the youngest, I think, player that's in that locker room, and just stood up, took the slings and arrows, got to get better and got to be better. And I give him credit for that because I know there have been some times, even this year, where some guys are like, "Nah, I don't really want to discuss it. It's gotten tough." But he stood up there and took him. So I think he's going to end up being all right. Everybody, he's going to be okay.
If you're looking for more football conversation, you can check out The Crew. That's Odyssey's newest football podcast with NFL insider Josina Anderson, former cornerback Fred Smoot, and actor Morris Chestnut. Each week, players and celebrities join The Crew to give you a peek behind the curtain and provide real talk on the headlines across the NFL. Follow The Crew in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Something happened yesterday. Really, really horrific on the local news. Sean Pendergast was not having it. Sports fans were not having it. We'll explain what it is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.